Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3 minutes past four on this Tuesday afternoon. Sydney Swans support, Old South Melbourne supporters, of course. Make sure you get down to the MCG to watch the Swans take on the Hawkers on Sunday afternoon. The game's got a little bit of momentum in it all of a sudden with the Hawks finding a bit of form on the weekend. Not too late to purchase yourself a Vic Ultimate membership for $150. One of the great things about this footy team and their supporters, they turn up. The Melbourne supporters have stuck fat with the Swannies, and they turn up. So this Vic Ultimate membership.
Well, they've given them a lot of reason to turn up.
There's no doubt about that.
They're playing some mighty fine football for a long period of time.
They have done so.
And giving flags a nudge every now and again.
Well, more often than not.
Correct.
This membership's going to get you access to all remaining Swans games in Victoria and member-only events, 30% off regular price. Beautiful. One of the reasons that they are who they are, this footy team, is the honesty they get out of so many of their players. And there's one bloke who turns up every single week.
Oh, he personifies it.
Every week, mate.
Every week.
He just turns up and puts it on the line week in, week out. He does it for the 100th time this week. His name's James Robot. He's going to be playing his 100th game in front of his family and friends down here in Melbourne, which is wonderful. And he's been good enough to join us on the show. James, thanks for your time, mate. We appreciate you joining us.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Has it come up? It's come up quick. 100 games. Feels like you've only been in the game about 20 minutes, and here you are playing game 100.
Yeah, I guess it has come up quick. It's a pretty proud moment, I guess. But it has been only my sixth year or so. So it's pretty fast in that sort of sense. But I think it's the case with a lot of us in this sort of age group now. We've played a lot of footy together, and it just seems to keep rolling on.
I suppose when you say 6 years, it's a body of work when you're into your sixth season. Hey, Gazy, James, Gazy's talking about, you know, Sydney year in, year out, contending and, you know, sticking their nose in the frame, you know, when the whips are cracking at the end of every season. What was it like your first 2 years? Was that little sort of hiatus for the Swannies where they, you know, had to kind of rebuild the list and turn a few things over? What was the kind of, can you remember what the key messaging from John Longmire was in your first two seasons?
Yeah, as you said, there was obviously a lot of turnover with some greats of the club retiring at the end of my first season. And I think a lot of us were sort of fortunate in a way to be able to give it a chance to play a lot of footy since then. The likes of myself and Nick Blakey and Justin McInerney have all been able to play a fair chunk of footy together since then. It's put us in really good stead now in what's our sort of sixth year, and we're kind of ahead of the eight ball, I guess, in terms of what you'd consider the norm in terms of this amount of footy being played by this age. We're only sort of 23, 24 years old, so it's been pretty fortunate, I think.
And James, every team needs those that get out there and do a lot of the heavy lifting, the grunt work. And last year, you broke the club record for a number of tackles, I think it was, in the year. That's extraordinary, and well done for that. Is that something that you just see with the makeup of your team and that's the opening, or is that something throughout your junior career you've always had?
I don't know. It's a good question. I guess I've always had it, but I think once I sort of got to the club and found myself playing most weeks, it was made pretty clear that that was my job, to put pressure and horse loves it when I get in the face of the opposition. So what I do each week is what's valued inside the four walls. So if that was that, it's just something I've had, been able to hang my hat on over the last couple of years, and something I hope I continue to do.
And over the last few seasons, with the points of emphasis and some of the variations in tackling to try and alleviate the head injuries. Have you had to modify what you do at all? Are you conscious of when you're getting in a tackling situation of what you have to do these days?
A little bit, not too much, because I'm not the biggest body, so I don't tend to tackle people with a whole heap of, aggression and intent, because I'm not as big as some of the other players, so it's more sort of technical that I've been doing over the past few years. So I think I've been lucky that I haven't had to change too much and can go about my business as usual.
How big an advantage is it being somebody like you, James, who does like the tackle, does like to hunt the tackle, in terms of getting you into a game? Often sometimes you can struggle to get the first couple of easy possessions, but tackling is such a mindset skill. How important is it for you to get you into the game by doing that?
Yeah, you've hit it in the nail on the head, really. Going into a game, you just personally focus on that sort of pressure aspect of side of the game. And as you said, it can get you involved a lot earlier than if you focus on trying to get a kick and have that sort of selfish mindset. But if you can focus on doing something for the team, we speak about it a lot at the club, and sometimes just having that mindset to do something for the team and someone else can make you play better yourself regardless.
And is your behaviour out there, is it because you do that perhaps the less sexy stuff? And
Very attractive man, Andrew.
No, I understand.
He's a very attractive
man. I'm talking about games.
How dare you say that he's not a handsome man?
No, he is elite. But okay. I'm just saying that there's
some... He's got hair that some of us would die for.
Absolutely.
Okay,
but
right.
I'm talking more about some of the behaviours, not the intrinsic beauty of the man.
Okay, right.
Because that's there for us
all
to see.
That's right.
But I was just wondering, are you a bit lippy out there or something? Because I'm reading here and you've never had a Brownlow vote.
What?
Yeah, I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, I think. But I kind of appreciate that, going under the radar and doing the grunt work and being valued at the club rather than in the media and by the umpires, and it doesn't really bother me. It's kind of a badge of honour, and I guess in a way now, the longer I go on without a Brownlow vote, it's kind of nice.
So that's one thing that will come your way. There's no question about that. You've got the 4-year contract. You're part of a team that's heading in all the right directions again. In terms of your own footy evolution, is kicking goals or kicking more goals something that you're, focused on thinking about? Is that an ambition of yours, or are you comfortable kind of where the balance of your game's at?
Obviously, you always want to add strings to your bow. So I think working on that kind of area of your game is always important, and I continue to do that. But the balance of our side at the moment is in a pretty good space, and I can do a bit more grunt work and get the ball on the outside to blokes like Errol and Chad and Haynes. They can kick a fair chunk of goals between them, and they're obviously very talented. So I wouldn't want to upset the balance for me to go seeking a few more goals.
And gee whiz, Brody Grundy, he's come in and slotted in seamlessly, it seems.
Unless he's getting bitten in the ear by, stung in the ear by blue-bottled jellyfish.
Jellyfish out there with his pre-game activities. But are you surprised at the ease at which he's been able to fit into your system?
No, not surprised at all. He was obviously a talent for the last 10 years or so across the AFL, and for him to come to the club this year and the impact he's had within the first month and a bit of footy has been extraordinary. And then again on the weekend in his 200th game at the SCG and against the quality opposition in Jared Witts was amazing to watch. And he's such a help for our midfield and our team in general. And he just carries himself with such a presence. And it's amazing to have him on our team now.
When we're talking to James Rowbottom, who plays his 100th game this week against Hawthorn. You talk about that, the first couple of years you came into the team, James, and the transition, from a whole lot of those standard bearers that were part of that Sydney team to the group that you're part of now. How much has Luke Parker been a kind of standard setter for so many of the young midfielders in Sydney with his kind of non-negotiable way he goes about his footy?
Well, personally, Parks has probably been the one of the leaders that I've lent on the most over the start of my career, and the knowledge and wisdom that he's been able to share with me has been massive. And as you said, the non-negotiable aspect in which he operates week in, week out is something that I have strived to achieve over the first few years, and I've definitely missed him over the first month and a bit of footy and can't wait to run out with him again.
It's pretty nice, isn't it, to think about how well you guys are going. And, you know, it's a week at a time and all the rest of it. And Hawthorn will be up and about this week for you.
My word.
At the MCG. But to know that you got Parker and, you know, Cal Mills to come back into that side, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and Dane Rampey as well.
Oh, jeez, yeah, of course.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
It's, yeah, it is very exciting. And it's obviously been a good opportunity to give the team a bit of a mix-up and see how we go without that experience. And we've learnt a lot over the last few weeks with those leaders out of the side. And I think we'll be better for it. But as you said, when they come back into the side, it's obviously a massive boost to the team.
Andy mentioned right from the top that the club does a great job of really galvanising the old South Melbourne fans when you, right, you come here. And off the temper text machine, a question is, are you going to be wearing the old South Melbourne Big V jumper on the weekend?
Magnificent.
We sure are. We made it a thing a couple of years ago that whenever we go down to play in Victoria now, we wear the V. We had such a good reception a few years ago that we've made it a permanent aspect of what we do, and we love the connection to the South Melbourne faithful that always show up when we play down there, and as a group, we actually love wearing the V. It's a really good sign of recognition for all that have come before us and, paved the way for what we've got now.
Just a great jump. It's just a great jumper.
It is, my word. Yeah. And you blokes do a good job. I remember, it might have been last year, I think it was, after one of your games when you played down here. I was heading into MSAC, and it looks like you guys were doing a clinic with all the kids. And do you have to do a lot more of that when you come to Melbourne to engage the old Bloods fans?
I don't know if we have to. I think we do it because it's our turn to give back. The fan days and the clinics we do down in South Melbourne at Lakeside is a great joy. And hopefully after a win during the year, we get down there and have a lot of fun with kids and families. And it's always good to do that in Melbourne and give back to the people that are down there supporting us interstate.
Perfect. What a perfect answer. You mentioned Isaac Heaney a bit earlier, James. There's a few of us around here are pretty keen on Heaney and have been for quite some time. And we mentioned earlier, or Gazy did, that you're a very fine-looking young man yourself.
Well, but you brought it to my attention.
Well, he's got beautiful hair.
I was just talking about the sexy way he plays.
Well, that's right. Do you find yourself, you know, not in a creepy way, but do you find yourself just on occasions sort of staring at Isaac and just thinking, God, he's a good-looking, like, he's a really beautiful-looking man. Like,
you might have got a bit
too far. I mean, teammate sort of way. Like, you know,
we can appreciate
men can appreciate other men for being, you know, handsome and you don't have to be attracted to them.
But you can, but I think, you know. I think I'm more in awe of the way that he's going about his footy at the moment.
Nice. Very nice.
he's operating at a level that's pretty high, and it's a joy to watch, and he works so hard at his game, and it's been a pleasure to play with him over the first 6 weeks. Mm.
So just between us, and you know, the coaches will coach for the team, right? But when you do get a couple of these blokes back into the side, does he stay doing the role that he's doing? Is he going so well through the first bit of 24
that
you just can't afford to send him back to that high half forward role? You're going to have to – would you kind of say to, you know – few of the other boys,
go to horse and give him.
Yeah, yeah. What would you do?
I reckon we just keep it as it is.
What would you do?
It's a pretty good problem to have, I guess, when you've got so many people that can go through that midfield role and high half forward role. But yeah, obviously it's a fair few weeks away, and we're not really looking that far ahead. But it's up to the coaches, and I guess all I can say is that Haynes has been, as I said, incredible, and no matter where he plays, I guess he can play all over the ground and have an impact regardless. If he plays forward, he can kick five, he can go spare in defence and win a game, intercept marking, and then as he's done in the midfield, he's been having 30 and kicking a goal and a couple of goals a week. So it's been incredible. So no matter where he plays and what the dynamic of the team is, he'll always be good.
And you've got a youthful, you know, we'll sort of stop pumping up the physical aspect of you in a moment, but you've got a kind of youthful glow about you. But can you remember when Errol Goulden, we had him on the front bar one night a couple of years ago, James, and he walked in, and I'm fair to him, he looked like he was 14. You thought, this guy cannot play in the AFL. He's too young and he's too little. He has proven it wrong. Can you remember when you first laid eyes on him? Did you think, I'm not the biggest bloke going around, but surely this bloke isn't on our list?
Yeah, he actually, because he was with the Swans Academy, he did a pre-season with us the year prior to him getting drafted, him and Braden Campbell, and that was the first time we sort of interacted properly. And we were up at Coffs Harbour playing a pre-season game, and even then he was very, very standing out to the eye, and his skills were obviously on display then, and since then he's just come leaps and bounds.
As
and you know, the standard he's setting now is extraordinary, and it's a joy to watch. And he's probably the hardest worker in our team. Puts up 16Ks a game, sort of, and just that's there's no secrets to why he's able to find the ball and distribute the ball so well. It's because he works so hard.
What's the kicking that sticks when he gets it? I mean, he does everything really well, but the way in which he can just slice and dice with from foot,
quick feet
is very quick feet. Is that something that is just a bit innate, or is there something he does special to in order to cultivate that? Because it is exceptional.
Yeah, his kicking is exceptional, and I think it's a massive part of his game. And if anything, he's had to rein it in for some of the kicks that he tries to pull off. But it's incredible to watch. And I think it is a little bit innate, but at the end of the day, during the week, he really, really practices all those kinds of kicks. And he doesn't just rock up on Saturday and Sunday and think,
you've got to do a little bit of work, I guess.
And a couple of quick ones before he lets you go. Look, Uncle Brian, BT, of course, the Bristler, Bristlington, he's the uncle. Has he had much, do you remember him when you were a kid growing up? You know, what sort of influence did he have on the early years of your life?
Oh, he didn't impose too much of his wisdom on me, but all I remember is whenever we'd go out to their farm where they used to live, they'd have the goal set up, and his four boys and I'd just be running rampant in the yard and just kicking goals from everywhere and tackling each other. And
nice.
They're some of the sort of earliest memories. And then later on down the line, my sister got involved, and it was just a big family affair by the end.
And the tool shed he's got there. Over the years, he's had some sponsorship.
And has not paid for a thing.
Oh, my glory.
Has not paid
days.
For one thing.
It is the greatest tool shed in the history of anyone's tool shed.
He's off the grid, power-wise. Mm-hmm. Have you seen his power setup that he's got, off the off-grid power setup he's got?
Have you seen some of the little toys he's got? It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And the organisation of it.
It is.
It's a bit OCD and next level, but it's absolutely tight when you're out there. So it's very impressive.
Hey, how much fun? Did you mention your sister? How much fun do you get watching Charlie play a footy?
Yeah, amazing to see the growth and development in her game in the past few years. She only started playing when she was 15, 16, I think. So to play for 2 or 3 years fully, then go pick one, and then win a BNF and. All Australian in the first couple of years. It's been, it's been pretty impressive and something I'm very proud of.
Ah, she's a superstar, as are you, mate. Well played so far.
Yeah, really
long way,
well
done. Long way to go in your career, obviously, but these are the milestones that are pretty significant for you to come back to the hometown and play the 100th in front of your family and friends. It'll be a really special day for you, I've got no doubt. So great to have you on the show. Lovely watching you play your footy, and we wish you all the very best on the weekend.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Brilliant stuff.
James Rowbottom probably got a little bit too, deep into the personal words there. But
I've never noticed what you were talking about, but I've had a bit of a look and
the hair.
Just the whole package.
I know he's a very.
There's no doubt about that. No, but I thought you just made it a bit awkward for him.
Well, it probably did, but he could bob up on if he bobbed up on series 4 of Outer Banks. You wouldn't
Outer Banks.
Have you seen Outer Banks?
No.
Ah, the thing set up over in South Carolina or wherever it is.
What's that all about?
The kids, the little rebels that live on the boats and the beaches of the Carolinas.
Okay. Sort of Love Island type.
No, it's not. It's a dramatic series.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the one that, like, if you're a 13 or 14 year old girl, you're all over it because,
good looking dudes.
Yeah, that's yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll check it out, Andy. I'm not familiar.
It's not
with
really
it.
Our game, Keith. But
you're across it. So.
And Lance Franklin. Oh, it's because my kids are. Mm. Lance Franklin's going to make an appearance at halftime on Sunday.
A lap of honour?
Well, that's what it. I think you could put two and two together, Shags.
A lap of honour, I'd thought.
Yeah. I mean, is that going to make it for him?
He's been around a couple of times already, hasn't he? That's all right. He deserves it.
Oh, 100% he deserves it. Mm. Don't want him getting dizzy.
I would have thought when he plays. Oh, I have to be with the Hawkers. I have to be lap of honour.
So he'll have the two scarves on.
Oh,
he will.
I hope so.
He will.
I hope so.
My word, he will. Mm. We're here for Berwick BMW, offering convenient servicing for your BMW, the next day availability, and multiple transportation options.